All right, praise the Lord. A little sidetrack in there. Well, it's great to see y'all here this evening. Praise the Lord again, and those of us online. Thanks for standing if you can, and we're going to start out singing Seek Ye First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Not a friend like the lowly Jesus, not one.
like him is so high and holy. No, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Saint, find this friend forsaken. No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner, find that he would not take him. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Amen. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any pick of hymns this evening? Yes, sir. 583. Hey, that's really close to where we're at. You are my all in all. 583. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. name. Worthy is your name. Praise the Lord. That was good. Any others this evening? 358? All righty. Because he lives. 358. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more. Did you have one, Miss Vicky? Oh, okay. I thought I saw you say one at the same time. Okay. Amen.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Outstanding. Very good. All right. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight. Hope you had a great afternoon. All right. How did our visitors enjoy the service, Loopy? You think they'll be back? All right. Are they both, both families are local? Okay. Well, amen. It was good to have them. Had a real good children's church with all their kids here, so that was great. Amen. Do we have any praises tonight? All right. Yeah. So the other lady's name, there's Jackie and her husband.
The other lady's name is Stormy. She's the mother of the older girl, Riley, and the other, and Two of the other ones.
Huh? What? Oh, John's making a joke. Storm is an Avenger. And she's not an Avenger. Okay. So Stormy and Riley. And then Jackie and the husband's name?
Chris.
And they had what, three kids?
They have three kids, but Serenity is their daughter that comes.
Okay.
We may have to end up getting a bus.
You going to drive the bus, Frank?
If you'll drive.
You got a CDL? Oh. You got a bus? Frank. Oh. Frank. Always pulling my leg. Frank pulling my leg. All right, other praises. Anybody else got another praise? It's one college, isn't it?
Yeah, one.
Five colleges. Oh, it's not denominational. It's not denominational specific. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Then that movie's coming out. Kelsey Grammer. Jesus, what's it called? Jesus Revelation. Jesus Revolution? Jesus, what's it called?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a movie coming out about the late 60s, early 70s, the Jesus movement. Interesting. Yeah, amen, brother. All right, colleges and revival. Five colleges. Amen, amen. What else?
I'm almost ashamed after all that great stuff. AmeriGas tank, our propane tank was leaking.
Yeah.
And they turned, instead of fixing the tank, they shut it down, and we haven't had propane since Thursday. And they won't come out and turn it back on, even though we jumped and moved and everything. So my husband, being a mechanical engineer, this is the phrase, call that a plumber.
Oh, amen.
No more cold showers.
That was tough, man. You used to hot water and you don't have it.
You just had to change the tank every couple of days, right?
Once a week for a 30-pound tank, huh? You're easy. You're cheap. So y'all cook with electric? You cook with a... Huh? Okay. All right. Propane. All right, amen. Any other praises?
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for all the many blessings on us all, you know.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We're a blessed nation, you know.
Yes.
After all this stuff in Turkey and stuff like that, it just makes you think about things, you know.
Boy, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, prayer requests.
Yeah, tomorrow's at the school, you know, game day, where you want to call it. Just pray that everything goes well. We get a lot of kids that come in, and like I said, just first time of trying it, just hopefully it does good.
Amen. Amen. School. Yeah.
Just also that the children are safe and blessed.
Yeah. Make sure all the children are safe and taken care of. That's right.
Amen. Amen. All right. What else? All right. Terry and her team in Uganda. And the mission group she's with is... Say again? That's right. Yeah. What's the name of the organization? Rescue Hope. Rescue Hope. All right. What else? Yeah, Ron.
Jackie, the lady that was here this morning.
Yes.
March 1st, she goes in for major surgery, so pray over her.
Amen. Major surgery. You got it. All right.
And Stormy, the lady that came with her, she's having some things going on at home, and so she's actually came to stay with Jackie now for a while. And just Jackie specifically asked if we could put her on the prayer list.
All right.
Her and her family. Without going into too much detail, it's just not good.
Home situation, all right. All right, all right. What else? Anything else? Unspoken?
And all our shut-ins, and Miss Barbara McNew, and is she's struggling.
Yes.
With some things.
That's right.
Pray for John and his health, and Ronnie Vackler and his health, and Ronnie Holman. We always got Ronnie on the list, so, but we lift him up, and Larry Fields, stepdad.
Larry Fields, that's right. They sent him home today, this morning, and he's supposed to be on oxygen. Of course, they're trying to wean him off of it, and they didn't send him home with a whole lot of oxygen in his tank. So they ran out at the house, and she had to get back to the rehab center and get a oxygen concentrator. Am I getting that right? Yeah, it concentrates the oxygen out of there, I guess, so you don't run out. If you got power, you don't run out, I guess. So anyway, so Larry Field, and then pray for my brother Kenneth. Still haven't got his results from his blood work. All right, very good. John, Thornhill, Ronnie's. Anything else?
Yeah, I want to pray for Kevin.
Kevin?
Just Kevin and his addiction problem.
Yep.
Alcohol.
Be back on it.
Yeah, it's a tough road, man.
Yeah, it is. Has he ever tried the AA group or the Celebrate
Recovery? He's been a couple of them, but, you know, some people, it works for some people, and some of these alcoholics think they know everything, right?
Yeah, man.
They go in with that attitude that they know you're trying, you know what I mean, what I'm saying? They go in with the wrong attitude.
Yeah, amen.
It's just a strange thing, you know.
Yeah.
But
till you get to bottom, you can't get well.
You gotta hit bottom. You gotta hit that bottom. Ain't there
Bless
yet?
Bless his heart. But, he ain't there yet. We thought he was there when he got liver business.
Wow, yeah. It's just it's just a tough thing.
Amen.
It's a tough
man.
Thing to watch.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, your son, but
well, you're gracious. You're very gracious, and I hope God blesses you for your grace towards your son. So. Amen. You and Kathy both very gracious. Amen. So, amen. I hope the Lord will reward you for that.
I need to back up. I've got a praise, and
it's
kind of awful that when things are going well, I forget to praise God, and when I'm struggling, I go to Him. But our daughter Jessica seems to be doing a little better. We went to a ladies' tea yesterday. She said she had a wonderful time. She's been cooking dinner for us. I mean, really good dinners. The last few nights, and she's been going to bed and getting up at a reasonable hour. And
yeah,
I just have a little hope that she's maybe making a little progress. So,
amen. Amen. Amen.
We want to lift up Mr. Cora. We just, you know, pray for her.
She was having, an MRI or something?
Yeah, she had.
She have it already?
Yeah.
CAT scan? When is she seeing that doctor? When is she seeing, do you know? Okay. All right, Mr. Cora. All right. Is that it? Is that all? I got Arnaldo down. Brother, we'll pray for Arnaldo.
Well, I got one more. Pray for Miss Bicky and her family.
Amen.
And, you know, she's already mentioned Unspoken, but we're all thinking about you, and we love you.
Amen. And then one from the news. Let's lift up one from the news at murder-suicide in Galena Park. If you hadn't seen that on the news, that's horrific. Boyfriend of the mother of the home. Jealous. Somebody said hi to his girlfriend, the mother of these children. So after an all-day drinking binge, he took his firearm. Have y'all seen this on the news? He took his firearm. This was last night. He took his firearm into that home, and he shot, I want to say, three of the girls. He sexually assaulted the 12-year-old and let her go. She picked up a 1-year-old and got out of the house. Then he killed three and committed suicide. Did she? The 12-year-old? Yeah. Yeah, it's horrific. I mean, the evil among us, and it's a cry for Christ and the gospel is all, what it is. But so let's pray for that murder-suicide in Galena Park. Awful things. All right, let's go to the Lord. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we're thanking you for the day. We're thanking you for the beauty of it. We're thanking you for our salvation, Lord. We're thanking you for all the many blessings. We do praise you for the blessings of life, Lord, and we don't want to just sit on those blessings or bury them. We want to get them into the ministry and get them into the work, bringing people to Christ, using the things you've bestowed upon us, being good managers and stewards of those things, to point people towards you, Lord, and to sow the seeds of the gospel in other people's lives. And so, God, we just praise you. Thank you for blessings. We're thankful for these home repairs, getting the propane back on. That's a praise. Hot water, being able to cook. We're thankful for Jessica doing better, Lord. We praise you for that. We pray that would continue. Her mental health would be stable, stabilize, and, Lord, make improvements. Lord, we praise you that there is a sense of revival going on at 5 college campuses. As we mentioned, a Christian college this morning, it's exciting to hear about revival fires in these different college campuses, Lord. So, Father God, if that's the beginning of another great awakening or the last great awakening before your rapture, we just welcome it, praise you for it, and, Lord, looking forward to it. So we thank you for this, and we pray that it might continue. And that your Holy Spirit might fan the flames of this revival. And Lord, it might drive across all this land, affecting not just colleges, not just schools, but churches, government, everything, Lord. So we just lift up this nation to you. Pray that it might turn back to you before it is eternally too late. Lord, with praising you for visitors today, these two families that came, we just give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord. We pray for visitors. And, Lord, it is a great blessing when you answer that prayer. And, Lord, we pray that these visitors would tell others and that our church members would sow the seeds and draw other visitors to this place. And, Lord, we know it's an area with many, many churches and people have many, many choices. But, Lord, we're thankful when they choose this place. And we pray that when they come here, they hear the Word of God. And, Lord, they are encouraged and loved on for just a little bit. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Arnaldo to you, Jeremiah's co-worker. We pray for his health. We pray for his healing, Lord. We pray for his family. We just pray that you help this gentleman get through and get over this cancer. And, Lord, we pray you might deliver him from that. We pray for the big school out, President's Day game, fun, Bible study time next door in the school tomorrow morning and running through the early afternoon. Lord, we pray for safety on campus. We're praying that the adults are able to handle the number of kids that are in attendance. And, Lord, we pray that your gospel sown and that there's a safe, Christian environment for these young people to congregate and just spend the day here, and giving their parents that work, giving them an opportunity to not worry about what's going on with their kids. So, Lord, we pray it's a great gift for the community, for those that take advantage of it. And, Lord, we just pray it might mean something to some families out there, put some Christ in some kids' hearts. So, Lord, we lift that up to you. We lift up Miss Terry to you and her team, Rescue Hope, there in Uganda, doing the medical mission project. Lord, we just pray you continue to bless that situation. Use that team in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray as we always do, as they meet physical needs, that they are given opportunities to meet spiritual needs. So Lord, we just pray for many salvations. We just pray a good testimony for Jesus and for the Bible and for the Word, for truth, in the midst of this medical mission team work there in Uganda. Lord, we lift up Jackie to you, our visitor today, getting ready to have major surgery 1st of March. We just pray you keep her body healthy, Lord. Help it be prepared. We're praying in advance for the surgeon, anesthesiologist, Lord, all those that will be in contact with Miss Jackie during this procedure. Lord, we just pray that it would be a safe, uneventful, Lord, procedure, and she comes out on the other side. We lift up Stormy, her friend, and we pray for her home situation. Lord, you know what's going on there, and we just pray you give Stormy wisdom, discernment. Lord, help her make decisions, and Lord, just help her in what she's dealing with right now. Lord, we lift up the unspokens that are represented here tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that you hear us as we voice these to you silently all across the room tonight and those that are watching online. Lord, thank you that you hear us and that we can bring these unspokens to you, Lord, daily, sometimes hourly. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We lift up Miss Barbara McNew to you, Lord, and we're praying for her mental health. We're praying, Lord, for this issue that she's got going on with her ears and things that she's just struggling with, Lord. So we lift Miss Barbara up to you. We pray for Miss Vicky and her family situation at this time, Lord. We pray that you would just protect her, help her, lead, guide, and direct her. Lift up all of our shut-ins, Lord, and we're thankful for them. Lord, we're thankful that you've given them to us and that, Lord, they're able to be a part of the services through this live stream. We're thankful for those that contact our shut-ins. And, Lord, I thank you for the privilege being able to visit some of these folks. And so, Lord, it's a great thing that we have them. And, Lord, they minister so much, even though they're not able to be here, Lord, the power of prayer and how they pray for us and how they pray for the church. And so, Lord, we're thankful for their great contribution to our congregation. Lord, we lift up John to you, pray for his health, touch his body. Lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you, Lord, and all his many struggles. Lord, we're praying that you continue to bring healing to him, touch his body. Ronnie Holman, we're praying for a healing from cancer. And so, Lord, we just we lift Ronnie up to you. And, Lord, we always seek you and pray, God, that you would help him get over it, give him a testimony of healing. We pray for Stephanie's father, my father-in-law, Larry Field. We pray for him that, Lord, you would help him in this recovery of bypass surgery. Lord, help his lungs get stronger. And we do pray that, Lord, soon and very soon he would be able to wean himself, get off of this oxygen. But for the time being, Lord, as he needs it, we pray that he's able to have it. And then, Lord, for Kenneth, my brother, we pray that there not be any kind of serious illness with this sudden weight loss. We pray as he seeks test results, Lord, that it wouldn't be anything serious. So, Lord, we're just praying for protection and healing for my brother Kenneth. And then Kevin, we're lifting him up. And, Lord, we're praying for help with this addiction. And, Lord, we just pray, and you're sovereign, God, so you move in his life, and you help him get where he needs to get so that he can get the help he needs. So, Lord, we're lifting Kevin up to you tonight. And then Ms. Socorro, Lord, we're praying for her health and this issue with her shoulder and this referral that she's getting ready to go to. And so, Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. Lord, as we think about what's going on in Syria and Turkey, we're praying for these folks as they continue to go into a recovery mode, and still they're finding people alive. It is a miracle from on high. We give you praise and glory and honor for it. Lord, we pray you help these people deal with the immense grief of losing family members, of losing their homes, losing virtually everything but the clothes on their backs. Lord, we pray that aid from all over the world would continue to pour in, and that, Lord, you would help these people rebuild better, rebuild stronger. Lord, put up dwellings and buildings that can sustain the earthquakes in the region. So, Lord, we just lift in that situation up to you. And then, Lord, as we think about local matters, we pray for this family in Galena Park and the loss of life, this murder, suicide, senseless, horrific, awful. God, we pray that you would comfort these people. Be with that little 12-year-old that was accosted but yet spared. We pray that by the grace of God, you would help her with the trauma that she has seen, undergone. And Lord, somehow, some way, you'd turn this horrific incident into a blessing of salvation, a life, something, Lord. We pray you take these ashes and you make some beauty out of them. So, Lord, we just lift in that situation up to you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in the Word tonight. Help us understand better that we certainly are priests, and we enjoy this new covenant era, this church age era, and we praise you and thank you for it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Well, I really don't have a passage to stand and read tonight, but we will end up in Hebrews and read a lengthy passage. So with that said, we'll just go ahead and begin on down the road with it. This is our fourth installment on the priesthood, and we're basically covering chapters 8, 9, and 10 of the book of Leviticus. And we've kind of gone off chasing some rabbits, but when you talk about the priesthood, boy, man, it just touches so many different parts of the Word of God, not just Leviticus, but comes into the New Covenant, the church age, and really a lot going on in Hebrews and other places in the New Testament. And so we're trying to do the round robin and do due diligence and cover all of the pertinent things that kind of tie back in to Leviticus chapter 8, 9, and 10. Last time we were talking about lessons for New Testament Christians when it comes to the priesthood. We said principle one, the Old Testament Aaronic, and I'm trying, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's Aaron with IC on the end of it. So Aaron is the first high priest. So when I say Aaronic, I'm not saying ironic. I'm trying to say Aaron with IC on the end of it. Does that make sense? All right. So oh my goodness, what was our English teacher that was here forever and a day? Miss Claudia Carr. If she was here, she would give me some elocution techniques at the end of the service and get me all lined out. And she's probably, if those that have gone on before us are a cloud of witnesses that surround us, she's probably chuckling about right now as we go through this this time and me trying to say this word. But anyway, the Old Testament Aaronic priesthood has been fulfilled and rendered obsolete by Jesus Christ. We talk about that designed obsolescence, amen? From the get-go, that Old Testament priesthood was never supposed to be the long-term deal, kind of a Band-Aid approach, kind of just get you to the cross, amen? That's really all it was for. So it was rendered obsolete by Jesus Christ, and we call him, as the Word of God does, the great high priest, amen? We said there's a second New Testament principle of priesthood, which is an outgrowth of the first. Principle number two, the Lord Jesus Christ has instituted a new priestly order. And this is where it's hard to just Bible study, and you want to try to get a little preach on it up in here. But has instituted a new priestly order, not of a few select individuals, but of all those who are born again. That'd be you. That'd be me. We tonight, and we corporately, and we as saved people are united by faith with his priesthood. Amen? We said the bottom line of this New Testament principle is that all believers are said to be the priesthood of the new covenant. And we turned and we read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. Now, as we dive off afresh, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 affirms those verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, those of you with me online, it says, "And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." And that verse ends with a hearty amen. You get it? Yes? Often in the New Testament, we find the ministry of the New Testament saint couched in the sacrificial language of the Old Testament, because we who are in Christ are His priests. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you know this passage, but listen to it, listen to it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. What did a priest do? He presented a sacrifice. To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Why do we do that? Because we are priests. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, I told you we were going to Hebrews. Let's go ahead and get there. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll read a few verses out of this chapter. Are you there? Word of God reads, beginning in verse 9, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." You know what city we're talking about, right? Yeah, that's in heaven one day, amen? After the second coming, right? That's the city which is to come. Verse 15, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name," right? That's why when it comes to the name of Jesus, we speak it in a worshipful way. We don't speak it in a slack way. We don't speak it in a jokey way. We speak it in a worshipful way. Amen? "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders." Notice it doesn't say priests, because we're all priests. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." How do we get there? How do we get to Hebrews 13, 9 through 17? What makes it all work? Well, friend, it is none other than the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus Christ marks the greatest dividing line of all history. Of all history. Now, there may be other lines drawn in the history of God's dealings with humanity, but none matches this one in its significance, the cross of Christ. Now, this line, Jesus' crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection, this line has not always been viewed as clearly as it should have been. In the history of the church, the line has had to be redrawn or at least rediscovered. Now, a little bit of church history. The Reformation, brought about by a former Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther, was one such redrawing of the line. As Christ drew the line between the traditions of Judaism and the teachings of the Old Testament, so Luther, he drew the line between the authority of the church and the authority of the Bible. Amen. The authority of the Bible. As Christ drew the line between a salvation of works and that of faith in his shed blood, so Luther, he reiterated that men were saved by faith in Christ alone and not saved by works and not saved by giving and not saved by jumping through the hoops, but we are saved by faith in Christ alone. Now, unfortunately, here we are in 2023. The Reformation did not draw the line as fully as it should have. In many matters of ecclesiology, that's how the church is governed and how the church works, matters pertaining to the forms and functions of the church, were left virtually unchanged. Now, the flavor of church that you're in has been blessed with the kind of polity that it has, local New Testament church. But the distinction between laity and clergy for a lot of denominational flavors has maintained. Now, in most Catholic, and I don't mean to pile on Catholics tonight now, understand that? That's not what I'm trying to do. In most Catholic and similar denominational churches, and I'm not trying to pile on them either, but the Bible is the authority, correct? That's all I'm trying to do. In most Catholic and similar denominational churches, there is either a form, there is either a formal or an informal priesthood. Right? I'm not talking out of school. That's just the way it is. Amen? Right? There is a formal or an informal priesthood, an order of those who somehow mediate between God and men. Now, the one thing that I miss since the pandemic is hearing the prayers of the people, right? Everybody wants me to pray. Why do people want me to pray? They want me to pray because the people watching online want to hear the prayers. Amen? But boy, there was a time, Brother Frank, before there was a live stream and before there was COVID, we used to hand this mic around. And people used to intercede on behalf of each other. Amen. Now, if everybody's comfortable with the mic, right, we just go back to that. Huh? Next time we get together, Frank, you drive that bus, all right? And we'll start it. Yeah, that's right. When that bus shows up, we'll start it. No, we'll start it Wednesday night. We started Wednesday night. If everybody's comfortable with that mic, amen? You got to speak clearly. You got to enunciate and all those things, amen? But I miss that because I'm not what? I'm not your priest. I'm your spiritual leader. You don't have to have me pray for you to mediate between you and God, right? You can do that. You can do that for each other. I can do that for you. You can do that for me. Amen, amen? Now, much of the Aaronic priesthood, which we find defined and described in the book of Leviticus, is simply carried over into the New Testament church with only superficial changes or alterations. I'm talking about those other denominational flavors, all right? Such practices, it's. I'm not piling on, I'm just trying to be honest from a biblical perspective. Such practices, ignorant, or worse yet, disobedient to the fact that with Christ, that when Christ came, when the curtain was rent in twain, when he said it is finished, it really was. Yeah. And so when he instituted that new covenant before he was taken into custody, before he was beaten, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, when he took that Passover Seder and made it the Lord's Supper, a new covenant, right? Amen. When he did that, there's a new priesthood. And that this priesthood includes every true believer and not just a select few. So that begs the question, and I told you we were going to get here last time we met. Why is it that the clear teaching of the Bible has not been followed as it pertains to the new priestly order in the New Testament? Why is it? I seek to answer that question this evening. Why has the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers been set aside, both doctrinally and practically, so that an elite priestly class still performs the religious rituals for the laity in certain denominational flavors? I think the reason can be seen in the Old Testament text. Now, I'm a big fan of Moses and his life, and I'm kind of a one-trick pony because I think so much is tied into this guy. And when I first started studying the Bible, I didn't think so much. But the longer I study the Bible, I keep going back to Moses, keep going back to Moses, keep going back to Moses, keep going back to Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the people partially received the holiness of God, they said to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, Exodus 20, 19, then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us or we will die. Don't let God speak to us. We will. Before the death of Nadab and Abihu, remember that back in Leviticus chapter 10? Before the death of Nadab and Abihu, and after it as well, I suspect that the people were glad to let someone else get close to God on their behalf. I suspect that's the way it was. The people wished to play it safe. Remember that third slave today? What did he want to do? Play it safe, right? Ain't no playing it safe, friend. You got to get out there on the edge of faith, right? The people wished to play it safe by keeping their distance. That third slave today, he wanted to play it safe and not invest that money, not put that money to work for the Lord, right? Now, I think that is one of the principal reasons why religious folks, this play it safe, keep their distance. I think it's one of the principal reasons why religious folks today want to have, in certain denominational flavors, have a small priestly class, as it were, who will represent them before God and who will relieve them of the responsibility of getting close to God and having to pay the higher price of getting close to God, which is purity, which is discipline, which is devotion. Amen? You get it? Moses exemplifies the change which God wants to see in all of us. How so, preacher? How so? Well, when God first called Moses, as recorded in the early chapters of the book of Exodus, Moses kept retreating from God and drawing back from the position to which God has called him. He wanted God to send someone else. And only very reluctantly, when after God's anger was evident, and when Aaron was sent along with him, he finally surrendered. But the great change in Moses occurs after the fall of Israel in Exodus chapter 32. When the people sinned by their worship of that old golden calf, right? From here on, we have the sense that Moses is pressing toward God, pressing toward him, almost dangerously so, because God's glory it'll cook you, right? So Moses is not content with God's promise to be personally present with him alone. Moses, he wants God's promise to be present with his people, right? Even beyond this, Moses pressed God to reveal his glory to him in a way that definitely was life-threatening, right? That's when I believe the pre-incarnate Christ in his heavenly glory paraded before Moses, and Moses saw the backside of Jesus. That's what I believe. The man who drew back from God now pressed upon him. Are you with me? Well, how can we explain this change? Well, I'll tell you how we explain it. Two things explain the change, and they are at the very heart of the book of Leviticus. And it is the drumbeat of my ministry of this church in almost 10 years. And that's loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Loving God and loving people. A lot of people like to love God, but they ain't going to love nobody else. A lot of people like to love their immediate family, but they ain't going to love God. It's not either or. It is a both and proposition. Loving God and loving people. Still with me? Moses loved God so much that he wanted to be near him. even to see His undiminished glory if possible. Moses, because of that love for God, loved the Israelites so much that he would not settle only for God's promise of His personal presence and blessing, but for nothing less than His presence with His people. See, when we love God, when we love God in humanity, when we love God in our fellow man, when we love God in that fellow woman, when we love God in those fellow people, we wish to draw near to God, not to draw away from Him. And the reason why many religious folks in other denominational flavors want an elite priesthood is that they do not, in my humble opinion, sufficiently love God or their fellow humanity. Oh, they love God and they love their fellow man, but not sufficiently. Make sense? Not sufficiently. So, what's the big takeaway for us? We want to learn from Moses and from other godly saints to draw near. Amen? That leads me to principle three. We've covered two. Principle three, the book of Hebrews in particular uses the inferiority of that first priesthood from the Old Testament named Aaron, as an argument for not being tempted to go back to the old order, which prefers law to grace, which prefers Moses to Christ. As much as we love Moses, we got to move on to Jesus. Amen? Got to move on to Him. The strong emphasis on the superiority of Jesus Christ's priesthood to that of Aaron is for a very specific purpose in the book of Hebrews. There were apparently those who were tempted because of persecution. That'll push you a long way. They were tempted by Jewish persecution to fall away from their faith and to return to the practice of Judaism. As we study the Aaronic priesthood, we should be overcome with gratitude to God for the better priesthood which Christ has inaugurated, and be motivated to continue in grace rather than to fall into works. Don't fall into works. We work because of grace. We're not working to earn grace. Yes, yes. So having emphasized the differences between the former priesthood and the new, that's what we've been doing basically over the last two Bible studies, let me now state a very important principle which enables us to appropriate the continuity between the Old Testament Aaronic priesthood and the New Testament priesthood of all believers. There are some differences, but there is some continuity that we do not want to miss. And so that leads me to principle number four. Most of the principles of the priesthood which are found in the Old Testament apply equally to the New Testament priesthood as well. Huh, you don't say. In our efforts to maintain the crucial distinction drawn by the cross of Christ, we may neglect to give due attention to the many similarities which exist between the former, that Old Testament priesthood by Aaron, and the priesthood of all believers today. Therefore, our next Bible study, if the Lord tarries, and we all get to be here, on Wednesday we'll cover those principles of priesthood. The principles of priesthood which have remained unchanged from the days of Aaron, from the days of his order, all the way to the days of ours. Amen? Well, we'll end it there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, we can get another step through the book of Leviticus as we talk about the differences, talk about the superiority of the new covenant, of this priesthood. But Lord, we're going to pivot come Wednesday, and we're going to talk about some continuity. So Lord, help us take it all in. As we sleep on it by the Holy Spirit, may it make sense and bring encouragement and fuel to our faith. And Lord, we just thank you for growing us in your word and growing us in boldness and discipleship. Thank you for growing us. So, Lord, we love you tonight. May it be a good week. May it be a week centered on you, a week filled with prayer and scripture, and, Lord, a week where we come to those crossroads and we choose right instead of wrong. So, Lord, we praise you for the opportunity. Thank you for the grace, the mercy, and your everlasting, eternal forgiveness. Thank you for the chance. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Well, you folks are dismissed online. We'll see you Wednesday night. Have a good evening. Yeah, it is 7 o'clock, isn't it?